Apologies for delaying this evening's conference, but I really had no choice. Our present meditation is on motivation for promoting Eucharistic adoration. We still have one important aspect in what we call the Eucharistic apostolate, and that is to motivate people, convince people that they should not only believe that our Lord is really present, but adore Him, spend time with Him, in a word, live out their faith in the real presence. I might rephrase our focus by asking, how do you convince people that Eucharistic adoration is desirable? I use the word desirable advisedly because in my judgment, Eucharistic adoration is necessary. In order to place this meditation in context, we need to look honestly at the world situation in our day. Then we ask ourselves, how can the global problems of the modern world be even lived with or coped with, not to say resolved? And then our answer, only Christ our Lord, even as He worked miracles in first century Palestine during His visible stay on earth then, so He needs, and He needs to work miracles in our day during His real, though invisible, presence in the Holy Eucharist. First, just a glance at the world situation in our day. As an objective viewer looks at the modern world, especially the modern Western world, in countries that were once strongly Christian and even devotedly Catholic, the picture is clear. Speaking at the end of the special synod called by Pope John Paul II, in Rome, this year, in fact, this month, the bishops drew up a concluding statement from which I would like to read just a few lines. They are mainly talking about Europe, but we know they could just as well, and I would say even with more emphasis, be talking about North America and certainly the United States. Quote, in various parts of the continent, particularly among the young. The Christian faith is almost unknown because of the spread of atheism, or wherever the process of secularization has gone so far that evangelization has to be begun almost from the start. But even where the presence of the church has previously been strong, only a small number take a full part in the life of the church. Unquote, the bishops, speaking about Europe, they could just as well, and I repeat with emphasis, be talking about North America and surely the United States. The widespread de-Christianization of large parts of the Western world can be seen, for example, in the almost universal legalization of the murder of the unborn. And the breakdown of family life to a degree where in some countries like our own, divorce is automatic on the mere written request of one of the, shall we say, married partners. That's all they've got to do is write a letter, and the marriage is, quotes, dissolved. And the practice of contraception as an accepted way of avoiding the responsibility of childbearing and child-rearing, especially in affluent countries like our own. And the growing practice of murdering the aged. And those who are suffering physical pain. And the corresponding legalization in more than one country of suicide. And the global conflict between nations. As for years, I've not tired telling people our century is the most homicidal century in human history. More people have been killed in the war since 1900 than in all the wars of mankind since the dawn of recorded history. So the record of our times goes on, and the end is not in sight. Our next reflection: the inadequacy of any natural solution. The more clearly we see what is going on, the more convinced we become that no natural, earthly, or human means, I don't say can, solve We cannot call it a problem. It is a global, widespread disintegration. Or even for that matter, an ameliorization. Naturally speaking, human means are inadequate. We better have an answer. And the answer is not only in order to resolve the world's problems. The answer is even to keep our sanity in this world. And the more involved you are, the more you see what is going on, the harder it is to even preserve one's mental balance. We need our faith. We believe with St. Paul how we need to be told this. Where sin has abounded, their grace has even more abounded. Romans 5th chapter, 20th verse. St. Paul was writing to the converts from Roman paganism. He knew the chaotic condition of the world in what we now call the first century of the Christian era. In other words, there was a last century before Christ. Only with the coming of Christ could the chaos of the ancient world even be lived with, not to say resolved. Christ did it in the past. Christ can do it in the present and the foreseeable future. That is why I like to quote the statement of our present Holy Father. Given the massive evil of the 20th century, beyond human description, he believes the 21st century promises to be the great renaissance in Christian history. But he keeps adding, provided we who have the faith live it. We, believing Catholics, are the hope of the world. That's what the early fathers of the church told the believing Christians of their day. You are, so they wrote and spoke to the believing Christians. You are the anima mundi, the soul of the world. You are the one hope for the world coming back to life again. Needless to say, the hope is in our faith in Jesus Christ. He, Jesus Christ, transformed the ancient world, how casually we talk about it. Not only the world before Christ, but as St. Paul calls it, the world without Christ. But, and remember, this is the focus of our present meditation. How do you motivate people to betake themselves to Jesus Christ, present on earth today? Remind them, Christ transformed the world of ancient unbelief when, in the Roman Empire, this was the law. No woman could bear a child without immediately after the child was born bringing the child to the father and asking him, do you want the child to live or to die? That was the law. And just for the record, most of the children born as girls were killed. No wonder the present Holy Father talks about re-evangelizing the modern world. Bringing Christ back to a world from which, and I'm speaking especially of the Western world, the affluent Western world, the academic, the sophisticated Western world. What are we saying? We are saying that Jesus Christ is on earth in order to continue working not just comparable, but even as he promised, greater miracles in our day and in our world. That all that he worked 2,000 years ago. Subtitle for my next section. Remember the focus of our reflections. Motivating people to adore and invoke our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. Christ, the miracle worker, is on earth. We are liable, as we read the Gospels, I don't say to completely ignore, but at least to minimize the countless signs and wonders that Christ performed during his visible stay in that postage stamp of a country called now Palestine. He performed physical miracles of healing and even raising the dead back to life. But the greatest miracles that Christ performed were not on human bodies, but on human souls. The miracles of belief, of faith in the mind, like in the stubborn, and I've got to use the word, the stubborn murderer called Saul. Remember when Stephen was martyred? Saul was there. And he enjoyed the spectacle. So we're told by his own disciple Luke in the Acts of the Apostles. The miracles that Christ worked in the human spirit in providing such strength for the early Christians that to become a Christian meant to become, and in intention, those who were being baptized all knew it, to become a martyr. We still find in legible, honest color on the walls of Pompeii. Remember? That city covered with volcanic lava has been unearthed. Statements like, Christians must be wiped out. I saw it. And as we see what is going on in our own country, the Catholic Church standing alone, literally alone, as one world authority still defending the sanctity of unborn human life. Nobody else. Still defending the sanctity of marriage. Christ our Lord worked these miracles then and hear it. He wants to work these miracles now. He wants to. And I mean it. That's why he allows, as far as we can say it, our mind boggles when we ask why does God permit such massive, unspeakable crimes? Why? That he might, as the Holy Spirit tells us in the Scriptures, that he might thus reveal his mercy. And his mercy especially in converting stubborn minds and wills that adore themselves. Today's world, need we say it, must have miracles. And a miracle, as you know, is something which God performs in the visible order that surpasses the powers of nature. That's the essence of a miracle. Something you can, touch or hear or see, sensibly perceptible, which God performs, which surpasses the powers of nature. And if I can use the expression, the hardest power of nature for God himself to surpass is the power of the human will to say no to God. as Augustine says, it is a greater miracle to convert a sinner than it is to raise a Lazarus from the grave. He's right. I know 40 years of the priesthood have taught me a lot. There's one thing I've learned. Well, then why is Christ on earth? Of course, to receive our sincere and generous love. He wants us to thank Him for all the marvelous things He's done for us, from making us out of nothing into existence, and then, over the years, blessing us beyond our wildest expectations. But one reason that Christ is on earth, and He is on earth, He, the wonder worker, the God who is man, performs signs that no one else but God could do. He's on earth. Why? To continue doing what He had done then, to do it now, especially in performing the miracles of converting stubborn, willful, proud, selfish, sex-maniacal human beings into humble, patient, chaste, obedient creatures of God. All that we are saying have now for 8 days been saying about the real presence finds its culmination right here. During His visible stay on earth, remember, Christ worked miracles, all right, but only, that's the adverb, only in favor of those who believed in Him. We who believe in Christ's abiding presence in the Holy Eucharist are to become the apostles of the real presence to our generation. We are to convince others that the almighty power of Christ is available in our day, on one condition, that they too believe. Over some years now, especially since I have been called to Rome to be told the Holy Father wants, I can use the adverb advisedly, desperately wants adoration of the Holy Eucharist to be promoted throughout the world. In speaking to those who have seen the wonders which Eucharistic adoration produces, I have no doubt, bishops tell me, miracles. But remember, somebody already believes in the real presence. Must himself be convinced, and convinced from his own experience, that what we're talking about is not either pious fancy or spiritual rhetoric. How then are we to motivate people to come to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and adore him and expect from him the wonders, especially of his mercy? How shall we convince them if we ourselves know the power of this Eucharistic Christ in our own lives? I would like to close with a rather long prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are here on earth, the same incarnate God who performed countless miracles in Palestine. I know what miracles of conversion are needed in the world at large. And dear Jesus, even among persons who are nearest and dearest to me, I know that you are ready to work these marvels of your mercy if only I come to you and beg you with a humble and believing heart. Above all, dear Lord, I know what graces I need to make me patient, humble, chaste, obedient, poor in spirit, and above all, absolutely selfless in my love of those whom you place into my life. I am confident, my Savior, that you will make me an apostle of your real presence, if only I am faithful to the graces that you, my Eucharistic Lord, are giving to me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.